Lord, help us to commence with hymn 610. Precious Jesus, friend of sinners, we as such to thee draw near. Let thy spirit now dwell in us, and with love our souls inspire. Fill, O fill us with that love which casts out fear. 610.
Thank you. Shall we read together from the Word of God, Psalm 51, Psalm 51, and then read from the Second Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 6 and 7. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. As we turn to the Second Corinthians, pause, Second Epistle to the Corinthians, and read together chapters 6 and 7. Corinthians, the Second Corinthians, Chapter 6 and 7. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. giving no offence in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labours, in watching, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armour of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honour and dishonour, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making rich, many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be also enlarged. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless God, that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. For though I have made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for this cause that had done the wrong, nor for this cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we spake of all things to you in truth, even so our boasting which I made before Titus is found a truth. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling ye received him. I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. The Lord bless to us the reading of his word, and help us now to come before him in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty Lord God, do grant unto us now, as we come to this time in our public worship, to make known unto thee our prayers, our supplications, and O Lord, might there be those thanksgiving for thy goodness to us. But, O Lord, what are our prayers if they are but only an outward form? So we pray, O Lord, for thine help, O Holy Spirit, to help us in coming to the throne of grace, in coming to the mercy seat, to plead, O Lord, that thou wilt look down in mercy upon us, that thou wilt grant access to the throne of grace, that thou wilt hear the cries of thy crying ones. It may be one who's come up this night, minds an urgent, pressing case. And so, Lord, we pray that thou wilt be with such, that thou wilt grant grace, help, strength to thy venturing ones, that come, as it were, in that spirit of that dear woman, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. O Lord, grant then, a venturing Lord, a leaning upon thee, O faith to believe, we feel to be as that one of old, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Lord, O work in our hearts, lift up our eyes unto thee. Cast out fear, cast out that fretfulness in us. Be gone, blind unbelief. Lord, Put thine arm about us now, as we are found in this corner of thy vineyard, in this chapel, thy house, O Lord. Put thine arm about us. Keep us from those things that would disturb without, but oh, much more those things in our own hearts, our wandering thoughts, our evil minds. O Lord, those fears, anxieties, frettings, those things that would gnaw away at us, the enemy of souls and his insinuation, Lord, cast out all those things that would take away the peace within us. O Lord, if it could be thy holy will, might there be known in our hearts that peace which passeth all understanding, that peace that's known when thou art near in thy felt presence, Lord Jesus. Do come, Lord, indeed, to thy troubled ones. Upon the storms of life, peace be still, it is I, be not afraid. And so, Lord, come and calm the stormy breasts, O Lord, those storms of life. It may be the unknown way, maybe, O Lord, O one tossed by Satan in this soul, thou knowest, Lord, thou knowest how each one of thy dear people are found here this night. And O Lord, come, come, O we pray, fill the place, come to each one. Lord, thou hast promised to those gathered in thy name that thou wilt be in the midst. And we pray, Lord, that thou art that one lifted up. Thou art in the midst of us. But oh, fill the place with that odour, the perfume of thine electing love and mercy to hell-deserving sinners. O Lord, shine as that light in darkness. Shine into our hearts. Cast out fear. Lord, grant a leaning upon thee and no other, a looking unto thee. Oh, might there be granted, Lord, O unto those that cry, that wait upon thee, O Lord, are looking unto thee, of you by faith, of thee, in thy beauty, in thy holiness, in thy love, thine unchanging love, thine unfailing love. O come, Lord, by thy power, O Holy Spirit, move in this place. Blow upon us, as it were. Come and do helpless sinners good. Oh, we pray, Lord, for we are such. Lord, we would confess that without thee we can do nothing. Oh, left to ourselves but folly. So, Lord, come undertake for each of thy people waiting upon thee. And, O Lord, any that sit unconcerned in these things, might thou bring into concern, that concern for their never-dying soul. Might thou, by that power that can move the hardest hearts, thy power, O Holy Spirit, that tame the mad Gadarene that no man could tame. O work mightily in this place, work mightily in those around, and those that have wandered and turned their back upon the house of prayer. Lord, might thou work, might thou bring back. Lord, for thou art able. O Lord, but grant us prayer, that prayer of faith to believe. Prayer, O Lord, that own importunity in prayer to knock, knock and knock again. O Lord, O hear the cries of those that indeed, Lord, have come up this night. I cannot let thee go till thou a blessing doth bestow. Mine's an urgent pressing case. O Lord, O grant that wrestling prayer. Grant that, Lord, crying unto thee that thou wilt come. O hear the prayers of thy praying people. And it may be in that inward sigh, the upward glancing of an eye. Lord, that drawing out of our hearts unto thee and the supplication, the beseeching of thee. So, Lord, hear prayer then. Hear prayer as we come to thy word. O might thou make it a living word unto us. O Lord, oh, we pray, O Holy Spirit, to move in our hard hearts, break them down, melt our hard hearts, might there be found that ground prepared of thee. And, O Lord, might we prove once more strength made perfect in weakness. Might we prove indeed, O Lord, that thou art able to grant us that help, that strength. Oh, that seems so impossible to us. Guide our thoughts aright. Oh, Lord, thou knowest the condition of each one gathered here. Thou knowest the prayers that have gone up. So as we come to thy word, Lord, might there be a guiding aright, that there might be let down those things in answers to those cries of thy crying ones. Lord, work, work, oh, we beg. Lord, for unless thou art present with us, what is our gathering together? So bless this people, Lord, as they gather here. Do hear those prayers that go up. Lift up the arms, O Lord, grant that grace, that prayer, and that lifting up of the arms of those with the responsibility for the place. Oh, we do pray. Lord, oh, do so work. And we pray for the children, the young people, that thou wilt watch over them and keep them. But, O Lord, that thou wilt hear those prayers concerning their never-dying souls, that thou might work, that their names indeed are found in the Lamb's Book of Life, wrapped up in the bundle of life, from the youngest to the eldest, of them. O Lord, O might we, Lord, as thy people, have that concern for never-dying souls. And those of thine aged ones, Lord, be with them also. And those in middle years, in all those things that come, be with each, Lord, we pray. So be with each Lord then, present and absent. Lord, we would be mindful to return thanks unto thee, that we have freedom of worship, that we have an open Bible. O Lord, might we be kept mindful of these things. O Lord, and that realization it is of thy mercy and thy goodness to us undeserved. But Lord, help us then. And we thank thee, O Lord, for thy daily provisions unto us. Help then, O Lord, we pray. Be with thy servants, where they labour, Lord, in this land, throughout this world. O Lord, thy purposes unfolding, thy kingdom, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. In earth as it is in heaven, thine eternal purposes, unfolding across the face of this world. O Lord, thou who art the God of heaven and earth, grant a looking up unto thee, and O Lord, look down upon us, even gathered here, that thou wilt bless us now, bless us together. And O Lord, forgive our many, many sins, wash and pardon in thy precious blood. O Lord, O might we know it. O Lord, might we, O know that sorrow over sin. O thou, the suffering Saviour. Lord, oh, grant that view. Oh, Lord, by faith of thee, and that walking close to thee. Oh, might we be granted that grace, as one expressed it, to keep Christ in view in all we say and all we do. O Lord, we would pray these things for thy dear name's sake, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 570. The Lord on high his love proclaims, and makes his goodness known to men deserving endless pains. He gave his only Son. 570.
Lord might help, I would direct your thoughts to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 7 and verse 10. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 7 and verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Do pray that the Lord might grant us that help, much needed help, in the opening of these words as they have rested upon our spirit, upon our thoughts. We sang this morning in that last hymn, "Daily I'd repent of sin." And this word, repentance. Oh, might the Lord search us out. I feel to need that searching. When we look in our own lives, in our walk, in our conduct, if we are amongst those who truly have been brought from nature's darkness, brought to that love to the Lord, that following of Him. As we may have spoken before, but when the Lord speaking to His disciples, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." And this is those searching words, "As I have loved you. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And that walking in the fear of the Lord, that walking in that love to Him. Paul, writing in the Romans, coming to the end of his letter, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And repentance, does it not speak of that change of mind and that change of conduct? And so, where the work of grace has begun in the heart of the child of God, perhaps we look back to those early days and the hatred of sin that we had then, that love to the Lord and that concern not to do anything, that would bring dishonor upon his head. Paul goes on to write, let your love be without dissimulation, falsehood. Abhor that which is evil. That word abhorrence. Oh, the loathing. The disdain, as the word speaks, and as the word of God, as we spoke this morning, is a living word for his people from generation to generation. When we look at this present evil world, not in that judging of others, but do we abhor, is there that hatred of sin in our own heart? Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. May sin take away the love of sinning, Alpha and Omega be. But how do we feel it? Do we know it? Are we concerned? Do we have that hatred for sin? Not, don't get me wrong, not that we can bring that in and of ourselves, for in our natures, there is only one thing that we have a propensity for, and that is to sin. And that love of sin is in us by nature. But where the Lord has begun that work in us, is there a mourning over sin? Have we a concern over our sins? As we sang in that hymn, daily I'd repent of sin. Is there that coming to the throne of grace? As we have that picture of the publican, as the Lord described him, in contrast to that Pharisee, so full of self, so full of I, capital I. Beat upon his breast, dare not look up. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Sin mixed with all we do. Abhor that which is evil. Paul, again, writing to those in the early church, as it were, in that exhortation, and these things come so very close. We search out our own heart, nobody else's. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, and not on things on the earth. The Lord, speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, said, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Where is your treasure? Where is my treasure? Oh, great mercy, if we can say our treasure is above. But what of our daily walk, our daily conduct? Mortify. Mortify. Put to death therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, evil thoughts, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. What of our prayers to the Lord concerning the sinfulness of our sins? Of that cry to the Lord that he would grant us that grace that would take away that love of sin in us? That we might turn our eyes from those things that would draw us away. Those sins in our hearts. Those sins that the Lord knoweth, seeth. What are those secret sins? Nothing hid from him. Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. What of those sins of presumption in our hearts? That willfulness of our sinful heart. What of those besetting sins? As we spoke this morning, the exhortation of Paul, laying aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Is there a crying? Is there a concern for the precepts of the word of truth as applied in reality to our heart? Mortify. Mortify. Therefore your members, which are upon the earth, sin, which doth so easily beset us. Sin, as that pollutes the mind, the heart, the will. Sin, is that deep root that is in us, as it were, as a tap root, and as you know, probably better than me, that you may take off the leaves, but that root is still there, and it will still grow. And sin is those weeds that creep, get a hold and creep and creep and creep. And by nature, the pulling up of weeds, but oh what of those weeds, as it were, of that sin in our hearts. Oh, do not get me wrong. We cannot make ourselves better. Oh, that deceit of those that would talk of perfection in the flesh, the deceit of Satan. But in our daily walk with the Lord, is there that mourning over our sin? Is there that we read here together in our text? For godly sorrow, for godly sorrow, worketh repentance. We read together the penitential psalm of David concerning those sins that he committed. A penitential psalm. the psalm of the penitent, the psalm of one brought to confession over their sins. Oh, he had wronged Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, had committed adultery, had committed in that conspiracy the murder of Uriah, had brought disgrace, as it were, upon his house. And we would not judge David when we look in our own hearts. But his main concern was to hide what he had done. The hardness of sin in the hardening of the heart. Unbelief and the fruit of unbelief, child of God, as we know to our shame, disobedience. Oh, and then the fruit of that sin. We read in the second of Samuel, we just noticed this, that David was on that rooftop. It was the time when the kings went to war. He was where he should not have been, in those idle eyes, as it were. Oh, the exhortation of the scripture, be sober, be vigilant, watch and pray. Oh, let none of us be deceived, the needfulness of that exhortation, even perhaps more so in this world which we live, where so many of those sins that are an abomination to the Lord are taken, accepted, have infiltrated, as it were, into our society. And so easy, is it not? Again, we speak to ourselves. We would not speak carefully in these things to become immune, is it not, to all those things that go on around us. And that lukewarm condition is a condition. Yes, those of Laodicea, neither hot nor cold. And only the Lord will stir up and break from that condition. But where there is lukewarmness, then the enemy of souls, as it were, watches. But where there is faith in exercise, then the vehemence of him is known. And we read, the thing that David had done displeased the Lord, nothing hid from him, but no conviction, a carrying on, until Nathan comes to him, speaks that parable of the lamb. Then so full of indignation, self-righteous indignation. And Nathan speaks those words, thou art the man. Thou art the man. And David brought down, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said, David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. And so in that psalm written where from that heart of David smitten, brought down in confession brought down in grief and sorrow for his sin, brought to confess his sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Brought to confession before the Lord for his sin, godly sorrow, godly sorrow. The mourning over sin, the confession of sin. John writes, and again, some very searching words concerning our sins, concerning the confession of them. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Confession of sin, godly sorrow with repentance. And as David was brought to cry, hide thy face from my sins, blot out all mine iniquities, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. That laying of the sinner in the dust, that pouring out of the heart in confession unto him. And as the sinner is brought in confession before the Lord, so the pleading of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanseth from all sin. Godly sorrow. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Worketh that abhorrence to sin and the fruits and the effects of it in the soul. Thoughts go to Joseph, alone with Potiphar's wife, in all her seductive ways, as it were, David brought to cry, how then can I do great wickedness and sin against God? Oh, the example of Joseph, his heart tender that fear of the Lord in exercise. Oh, might the Lord search us out in these things, in our lives, in our walk, in our conduct. Is our heart indeed set on those things above? Oh, we may say, oh yes, yes. But what of sin? What of the hatred of sin? Paul, in the previous chapter, in that sixth chapter, as he begins the seventh chapter, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Come ye out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. As you said before, where that work of grace is in the heart, there will be a desire to follow the Lord. There will be that desire to be separate. Not in a separatist spirit, not in a spirit of self being better than anybody else, but in that desire, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? Godly sorrow, a mourning over our sins, a confession of them, in sincerity. And it will be, as David expresses it, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And so, a sinner, brought in godly sorrow, brought, as it were, with their eyes up unto the Lord, that looking unto Jesus, that seeing him, that walking in that love to him, as I have loved you, as I have loved you. He wept, he bled, he died for you. What more could Jesus do? Oh, might the Holy Spirit melt our hearts. For Jeremiah rightly describes, yes, the inspired word of God, that heart that is in you, that heart that is in me, deceitful and desperately wicked. And who can know it? O child of God, as the Lord brings us to those spots and places of showing us what is in our hearts, what is in our nature, then there is that knowing of it. But what of that abhorrence of sin in us? Paul, as it comes to mind, writing again in that epistle to the Romans, speaks of that warfare within. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? That sin. Sin, what is sin? That which is abhorrent to Almighty God, that which the Almighty God cannot look upon, that which is contrary to His holy name, that disobedience to His holy will demands. Oh, when that work begun, yes, conviction of sin, and feeling that blackness, that darkness, and is brought to that marvellous light as it is in Christ. As we've said, perhaps, that view of sin in all its sinfulness, blackness and darkness. And that sin which will condemn sinners to hell. As we go on, perhaps, in the way. And we speak carefully. Oh, sin, going on in us, around us. And where is that concern? That mourning over our sins. In the depth of it. In that crying unto the Lord to wash us in His precious blood, to draw us near unto Him, for that desire in our hearts to be found indeed as that mad Gadarene clothed and in our right mind and at the feet of Jesus. Godly sorrow. That work of the Holy Spirit in the child of God. That cry, create in me a new heart, renew a right spirit within me. The child of God brought to cry unto the Lord. Oh, for that washing of sin. And for that taking away of the love of sin in us. Again, Paul writing, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. For those deceits of Satan, which would lull us to sleep. Might use the word tender-hearted. What does it speak of? Yes, in naturalness of kindness. But what of that tender heart before the Lord, what, as we've spoken, of that abhorrence of sin, of the abominations in our hearts, the abominations around us. What of that crying unto the Lord in confession of our sins in our own hearts, the sins of our land, the sins of the walk in conduct. To walk in the fear of Him. To walk to see no other save Jesus only. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. When the Lord shows what we are and grants that view by faith of a precious Jesus. How true the hymn writer expressed it, lose sight of Jesus and His cross, and soon we fall a prey. Oh, is there any of us that can deny these things? Yes, to our shame we speak of that. Oh, that love of the world that's in us. But the mercy is in all these things, that work begun is carried on unto the end. That love of the Lord to His people, from beginning to end, and none shall pluck them from My hand. We might sing for that closer walk with God, but it will only be as we are separated from these things of this world and the love of them, that mortifying of our members, as we read, and our thoughts go, as Peter writing in his second epistle, of that walking not in this world. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. And we will have to be taught in that school of Christ this lesson. You cannot serve God and mammon. Either you love the one and hate the other. And so the child of God will be brought to those places for that work of the Spirit, bringing us to that sorrowing over our sin, and that crying unto the Lord, create in me a new heart, renew a right spirit within me, take away the love of sinning, Alpha and Omega be my beginning and end, O Lord. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it in the courts above. O Lord, restore that joy known. O Lord, return, return. And what a mercy. The Lord hears the cries of his returning ones. Samson cried, remember me, Lord, this once. The cries of those brought godly sorrow and repentance. Oh, and it will be that daily repenting. It will be that daily found upon our knees before the throne of grace, of the mercy seat. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, uphold my footsteps, that they slip not. Set a watch over my lips, set a watch over my eyes, set a watch over my mouth. And it may be, Lord, set a watch over my hand, that I do not click that mouse, I do not go to this or that place, as these evils come into the world. Set a watch over me, Lord. Keep me from this world and the love of it. A sinner brought in sorrow over sin. Then that repenting over sin, that turning, as it were, unto the Lord, that desire to walk according to the will and precepts of his word. Oh, yes, the love to the Lord as the Saviour of sinners. If he loved me, keep my commandments. That walking in love to him, because he first loved us, as I have loved you. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of this world worketh death. And Judas, we read then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Oh, might the Lord pardon what we've said amiss. Search us out in these things. Looked at that hymn of Anne Steele, Was it for sin, for mortal guilt? The Saviour gave his vital blood. For sin amazing anguish felt, the wrath of an offended God. And shall I harbour in my breast, tremble my soul at such a deed, this dreadful foe, this fatal guest, the sin that made the Saviour bleed. Come, glorious conqueror, gracious Lord, thy all-prevailing power employ. O come with thy resistless word, these hateful enemies to destroy. For godly sorrow worketh repentance, to salvation not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. What a mercy. What a mercy. Yes, it may be that dealing with us in those terrible things in righteousness. It may be that chastening hand of the Lord. But for each one of his people, having loved them, he loved them unto the end. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £780, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Dr. Sadler next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School in the afternoon. And there will be a church meeting on Monday, the 1st of November. Hymn number 554. Though we walk through this wilderness, God's promise is our stay. His goodness he will make to pass before us in the way. 554.
Dear Lord, forgive what thou hast seen amiss in us. Grant that which has been of thee, that it might be applied with power for the good of our never dying souls, that in our day we might walk tenderly before thee in that view of thy love to us. Might thou hear that which has been sung, that thou would make thy goodness to pass before us in the way. Lord, watch over us now, take us in safety. Bless this people. Hear their cries, and as thou dost hear, so do answer. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and union and communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both present and absent, both now and for ever. Amen.